Hello, welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today's program addresses the subject of math anxiety. I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. For many people, balancing their checkbook is a traumatic experience. A tax return is an impossibility. What's the problem? Numbers. These people are victims of math anxiety, and by far the largest number of victims are women. Of all the engineers in the country, only 3% are women. Of all the physicists, only 11%. All this cannot be blamed on math anxiety, of course, though these facts may share common causes. To discuss this fear of figuring, with us today is Dr. Judith Jacobs, Professor of Education at George Mason University. Judith, why are so many people reduced to jelly at the thought of mathematics?
I think that for many people, mathematics is the one area in which they think they are either right or wrong. And so it's being checked on, and so obviously right or wrong, that causes a lot of people to be concerned about mathematics.
Aren't you either right or wrong?
Sometimes an approximate answer is good enough, and most people want the exact answer. And people sometimes expect more precision than what is necessary.
So people are intimidated by this expectation.
Right. The other thing is that many people have the image that you have to do mathematics very quickly. And that is also inaccurate. And I think those kinds of pressures are the kinds of things that make people anxious about mathematics.
What goes wrong in the classroom that so many adults have this anxiety?
In mathematics, in more than any other subject area, it is very easy for teachers to test. And so mathematics becomes the area in which, at the instantaneous instance, you can have a test. Teacher can give you a test on your basic facts. Teacher can give you a test on multiplication. Teacher can punish you by giving you 14 long division problems to do. And I think those kinds of things cause people in school to view mathematics in a negative way. We also tend not to teach mathematics as we do it in the real world. We teach it by the rules in the textbook, and I think that's another reason that people get turned off in classrooms to mathematics.
Are some people just good at numbers, or is that a fallacy?
I think that there are people who are good at numbers, just as there are people who are very good musicians. But it doesn't mean that I cannot learn or appreciate music, even though I will never be a concert pianist. And I think a lot of us, again, expect that excellency in mathematics, when really what we want is competency. And so maybe mathematical genius is something that is reserved for a few, but very few of us are at that end of the whole spectrum, and I'm interested in the masses of people who, with very few exceptions, can be competent in mathematics.
You're involved in teaching teachers to teach math in
Right.
our education department. Are changes being made in the classroom that will lead to less of this kind of fear?
Hopefully, the people that we're sending out from George Mason University know how to teach mathematics in a way that is exciting, that recognizes what's important in mathematics and what's not important, puts less emphasis on drill and more on thinking. And so hopefully these changes are occurring here and across the country in mathematics education. I can't promise anything, but that certainly is the hope.
Why are more women affected with math anxiety than men?
I'm not really certain that more women are affected by math anxiety than men. I think what happens is women are more willing to admit how they feel about mathematics, because if you just listen to any comedian, there's always the joke about the girls, which right away bothers me, but the girls who went out to lunch and divided up the check, or the woman who can't balance her checkbook. And so we live in a society where men portray women as being incompetent in mathematics. And so it becomes an okay thing not to be good in mathematics. That's something that boys do, not girls. And I think that's one of the reasons we see women being anxious about mathematics and dropping out.
You feel that because society doesn't expect them to be good at mathematics, they fulfill society's expectations.
The self-fulfilling prophecy.
You don't agree with the scientists who say that women are genetically ill-equipped to do mathematics?
Well, I think what you're referring to is the Stanley study out at Johns Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several things I think wrong with that study. One is he was talking about a group of students who are in the top one half of 1% in this country. And again, I'm not sure about that group. They certainly do not represent the masses. The second thing which he refused to consider in the study was that just because boys and girls sit in the same elementary school classroom through the sixth grade, it doesn't mean that they've had the same mathematics education. Mm-hmm. Boys are given toys that involve science and mathematics, and girls are not. Boys study science and math, and research shows their parents encourage them to do so. Girls' parents do not. So I don't think that study proved that girls are genetically inferior in mathematics at all. One of the things that we have to learn is, are we teaching mathematics in a way that encourages boys to go on and girls not to? And I think that may be more of the case than any genetic difference.
You say that, but how do you mean we're teaching it in a way that boys will be more encouraged than girls? What's an example?
Okay. Research shows that boys tend to be more spatially oriented in terms of visualization skills than do girls. And much of the mathematics we teach uses spatial visualization skills. If we emphasize language as the tool for teaching mathematics, and girls tend to be ahead in language, we might have the whole reverse situation where girls would be ahead of boys. We don't know that, okay? I think that that becomes one of the factors. The other thing that we have to do, and this to me is a major area, is that we have to convince girls that mathematics is important to their later lives. Mm-hmm. If I don't believe something is important to me, especially when I'm going to grow up someday, why bother putting a lot of time and energy into studying that subject? So I think those are the kinds of things that we have to do to change what's happening in the schools.
Why do differences between boys and girls seem to show up at high school level?
I think there's several reasons for that. One is that in the eighth, ninth grade, girls start deciding what they're going to be when they grow up, and it's not something in math and science, so why put energy in that area? Okay, so that I think is one of the things that happens. I think another factor that gets involved in this is, in addition to careers, the whole peer pressure of about the last thing in the world I want the boys to know is that I'm really good in math and science.
Do you think that still stands?
Yes. Yes. There's no doubt about it that particularly in the later high school years, the little girl who in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade could be anything in the world, when she is a junior senior in high school, is concerned with a date for a senior prom, how many fellas there are at the college she's going to go with, and that's just being a young woman. And I don't think we're going to be able to change that in the near future.
But there isn't a problem if she's good in history, English, and art.
Because those are the traditional areas for women to succeed. In fact, what we have is the opposite case, where the young man who's very good in art has a real problem in the later high school years. I mean, one of the things we were fortunate when Gloria Steinem came to speak at George Mason University a couple of years ago, her comment was that we, in essence, lose as feminists young women in the last years of high school, first years of college, because that is such an important age for social development, and we gain them back again in their mid to late 20s, unfortunately often after their divorce or whatever else happens in their lives, it makes them realize that they really have to depend on themselves and not on anyone else to survive in the world.
Mm-hmm. And mathematics is integral to survival.
More and more so. In fact, if anything, it's getting worse and it's not getting better. Not only do you have to know mathematics, but I think our next major crisis is going to be with computers. I think, and this is something that I see schools having a major role in handling, microcomputers with their costs are going to further divide the society, not only male-female, but along class lines. And unless schools see as their obligation making everyone computer literate, we are going to see predominantly white males who tend to be come from the more privileged area financially of our country having the skills that are needed to survive, and minority group members and women who do not go in that area are going to be further behind, have less job opportunities, and it's going to get worse and not better.
How can parents ensure that their children will be free of math anxiety? What can they do to help the situation?
I think there are several things they can do. When I was teaching junior high school back in Brooklyn, New York, many, many years ago, one of the most frustrating experiences I had was open school night, when you would say to a parent, your son is having trouble in math, and their basic response was, well, I was never any good in it either. I think that one of the things we have to do is not show kids that we're afraid of math. We have to encourage them to be good in mathematics and value it. It's amazing that if a child draws a picture or writes a poem, they get all sorts of praises. What praise do we give for a child who solves a problem in mathematics? I think there are ways of dealing with that. Mathematics can be taught through using play and games, and I think we should appreciate that and learn those kinds of things with kids and share that with them. So I think there are certain things that we can do. I think we also have to emphasize with our children that learning mathematics is an important thing for survival. And it is important that they know mathematics, male, female, black, white. It's a tool for surviving in society.
You mentioned games being important and that the different games that males and females play influences their mathematical development. What kind of games I'm not asking for specific
yep.
brand names, but just what types of games are the kinds of things that will help children with their mathematical development?
Okay, I have just finished doing a book for John Wiley with a colleague of mine on play things as learning tools. And we talk in there about how mathematics is learned through everything. Now, I'll start with the youngest child who is 2, 3, 4, or 5 and playing in the bathtub with containers, which that child is pouring back and forth. That child is learning about volume. And so that kind of plaything teaches mathematics. We teach card games. Well, in card games, if you're playing Gin Rummy, you're learning about the sequence of numbers, okay? If you're playing the game of war, you're learning about less than and greater than. As you play a card game, such as Rummy, you learn about strategies. You learn to be flexible in your thinking. If you're holding 2 9s and 2 9s have been played, you have to change your rules. So I think there are a lot of ways, and the standard games, we think of Monopoly and the games, the money involved in that, but backgammon is a magnificent game for learning strategies. So I think there are loads of games out there that teach mathematics. We sometimes don't think of it that. We think of chess. Well, there's a lot of other games that teach logical thinking and mathematics that kids can play.
And what about these poor unfortunate children's parents? How can they overcome their math anxiety?
I think that one way is to play with their kids these math games. Maybe they can learn something that way. I know that I personally use a calculator to do most of the arithmetic in my life. That has reduced a great deal of anxiety every month as I balance my checkbook. I think that we use tools and we play that. If somebody is really very, very anxious about mathematics and can't function, then I think taking a math anxiety reduction course will help. And there are some offered at Northern Virginia Community College, American University, the Counseling Center here at George Mason University offers one for our students. If they feel they need that, then that becomes an option. But basically, the way to get over your anxiety about doing mathematics is doing it in small doses, using tools, recognizing that you don't have to be the fastest one, you don't have to get the answer first, and that you don't have to do it the way your teacher taught you. If you have developed a method that always works, then that's okay too.
Dr. Jacobs, thank you very much for being with us today to discuss the problem of math anxiety. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.